Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll read verse 1 through 7. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it, above the throne, stood the seraphims. Each one of them had six wings. With twain or with two he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the whole house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." If you're counting, this is part 46 of our study in John the Baptist, and in just a minute we'll turn to Luke chapter 1. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for an opportunity to study your word, and I pray that you'll show us something. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And as that man, he said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And truly, Lord, that's the only reason why I open this book, to show Christ, to break the bread of life, to open the Word of God, and that people would see Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to do just that, to see Jesus Christ. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter in Isaiah, these verses, and I guess a few more further down, it's a familiar passage in every missionary at one point or another. He will take this text in a few verses down. It says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Jesus, he said to his disciples to pray to the Father, the Lord of the harvest, that God would call and send laborers into his harvest. "Here am I, send me." But the prophet, he was shown in a vision. I don't understand all of that stuff, I don't, but it says that he saw the Lord sitting on his throne. And in verse 3 it says that one of the seraphims cried to another one and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And I'm sure you've heard this before, but God is, as we say, thrice holy. God is holy, sure, but God the Father, He's holy. And God the Son is holy. And God the Holy Ghost is holy. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But in verse 5, the prophet confesses, he said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone." He realized that he didn't have it all together. He realized his shortcomings. Maybe he thought of when he was commenting on something back home, something didn't go right and the guy didn't do correct, and maybe he called him an idiot or whatever the case. But he realized that his thoughts and his speech was not right. Maybe it's fine for back home, maybe. But standing in God's throne room, he realized, "Hey, man, I need to repent." Because it talks about his unclean lips or his speech. Not the lips themselves, but what comes out. The Bible says that what comes out of a man, that makes him unclean. The thoughts, what have you, the malice, the whatever. A lot of the times when we sin, it's because we're speaking what we should not be. But not only his speech was wrong, but everybody he knew back home, their speech was wrong too. We ought to remember the holy, holy, holy Lord of hosts. When we think wrong or do wrong, we ought to repent. We ought to say, "Well, Lord, I shouldn't have said that or thought that or done that. I shouldn't have done it. Lord, please forgive me and help me to not think those thoughts and do those things no more." We ought to live a holy and separated life, separated unto God. I mean, we got to feed the dog, and we got to get the kids to school, and we got to go to work and put up with that guy at the other desk or whatever that nobody likes. We got to pay the bills. We have to do all of these things. I mean, we have to do all of these things. But in our hearts, we should live holy lives. And as I said, separated lives. That we ought to be a peculiar people. Not because we dress funny or a special way or wear a coat and tie to church on Sunday or whatever. But in our hearts, we ought to be different. Because we know that our sins, if you're born again, are forgiven. And then if we die today, we instantly go to heaven. We ought to be mindful and watch our thoughts and watch the things that we say and the things that we do. Woe is me, I'm undone. What am I going to do? I'm standing before God and I live the way I live and I'm ashamed, he was saying. But it says one of the seraphims, what's a seraphim? I have no idea. Sorry. Don't know. I would say it's an angel, but I don't know that it's an angel or not. It's one of the creatures that lives in heaven. A seraphim. It said that he flew to me, and he had in his hand a live coal that he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar. Everybody knows what a barbecue pit is. Everybody understands grilling. Everybody understands. And maybe you do propane. And that's fine. I like to do briquettes or chunks of wood or whatever, oak or whatever. But unless you have a gas grill, you've got coals, the briquettes or whatever. They're not flaming, but they're hot. But it says that the seraphim, he had one of these coals in his hand, but he took it using the tongs from off of the altar. You see, where God's throne is, everything that we see in the tabernacle of Moses, the temple, what have you, it represents the things of God. And the priest, if you had sin in your life, you would come to the priest in the Old Testament with a lamb or whatever, and you would offer, you would sacrifice, you would kill that lamb and ask God to forgive your sins. And they would take the lamb after they had killed it, and they would burn parts of it. And you can go into Leviticus or Exodus or wherever and find out all of that stuff. And I've taught on that. If you're interested, you can go to my website, perhaps, joeykelly.net. Click on the radio show and select the altar. And you get the 24 sermons or whatever I had done some years back. But this live coal, the priests, not just this seraphim, but the priests, they would have to go into the holy place. And there was the golden altar of incense. And they would take a coal from the brazen altar outside where the sacrifice had been made. They would take this coal, they would bring it in behind the veil or whatever, and they would place it in the golden altar. It didn't have fire. That there was no sacrifice made on this altar, but a coal from the live altar, the one that they did have sacrifices, they brought a coal in, placed it on this golden altar, and then sprinkled incense, and the incense burned. And I think I mentioned this a week or two ago. But he said, the seraphim did, he took this coal from the brazen altar and touched his mouth. And he said, hey, your iniquity, your sin is taken away. Your sin is purged or cleansed. You're clean. And there's two things going on here. There's justification. We're justified by faith in what Jesus did on the cross. He was the great sacrifice. We look to Him. We look to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and we can be saved as we trust that Jesus died for us. But Isaiah, he was complaining of his lack of sanctification or separation unto God. We understand that our sin is forgiven at Calvary, but also our continuing life, an increasing walk with God, it too, our sanctification too, has to do with Calvary. And it's often been said that everything that we get from God ultimately comes from Calvary, where the Son of God hung on that cross and gave up His life for us. Okay, that's background. But let's start looking at Luke chapter 1. And I guess I have to hurry through this a little bit. But we had been studying that John's parents, they didn't have a son. And we looked at the background. We looked at Sarah, Abraham and Sarah. Then we looked at Hannah. But it said that they wanted a child but didn't have one. And John's father, Zacharias, was a priest. And it says in verse 5 that he was of the course of Abiah. But it says in verse 8 that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot, his job, was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Like we just said, the priest would take a live coal off of the brazen altar, carry it inside the veil, put it on the golden altar, and as it just said, that his job was to sprinkle or burn incense before the Lord. That was his job, and that's what Isaiah chapter 6 talks about. But it says that while he was doing that, and everybody outside was praying because they knew what was going on, that there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, in verse 11, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. It specifies the right side of the altar of incense. You can go to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel, he was being given a tour of the temple. And it says that afterward he, the guy leading him, brought me again to the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. That chapter, chapter 47, I've preached it before. There's a river that comes out of God's throne. But it mentions that it came out at the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. And when this angel appeared to John's father, Zacharias, the same thing is said. The angel stood on the right side of the altar of incense. And we know this story that the angel said, hey, you're going to have a son, you're going to call his name John, etc., etc. And we'll get into that conversation next week. But I want to make a couple of observances. John's visitation by the angel, or rather, John's father Zacharias, his visitation by that angel, it's very similar to Mary's angelic visitation, where the angel said, hey, you're going to have a son. Which, that's interesting to me. That all these angels keep showing up and saying, hey, you're going to have a son. And in fact, the prophet Samson, there was a visitation there with his parents. And maybe one day I'll teach about that. But the point here is that it's not just, oh, one thing happened, but the same kinds of things happen again and again and again. That an angel appears, he's got a message, and in this case, hey, you're going to have a miraculous son. But then it says, the angel says, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Well, if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about Abraham and Sarah. And when they were given the news, hey, you're 90, hey, you're in your 90s, both of y'all, but you're going to have a son, Sarah laughed. But then later it says that everybody that hears this story, they're going to laugh with me. But here in Luke when the angel visited Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, the promise was, you're going to have joy and gladness, which is very similar to laughter, I suppose. So you see again the similarities. But it says about John the Baptist that many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And later on we'll study that Elizabeth went to visit Mary, and as soon as they said hello, the babe in her womb heard and began to dance a little jig and say, hey, the Messiah is here, hallelujah. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, John the Baptist was, even from his mother's womb. Now it mentions that he wouldn't drink wine or strong drink. And there's a study I guess we could do on the Nazarite. The Nazarite vow, what have you. We could do it. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But in verse 16 and 17, the angel said, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, which is exactly what happened. John, when he was 30, he began to preach and baptize at the River Jordan. And many confessed their sins and were baptized. And we see right here that event is a fulfillment of this prophecy that the angel gave. And then verse 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. And of course, we studied that in Malachi chapter 3. But in Malachi chapter 4, there was an additional prophecy. And we see right here in verse 17 that the angel mentions it. He says, and he shall go before him, before Jesus Christ. 6 months before, in fact, as it turned out. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And again, this verse 17 mentions the prophecies in Malachi chapter 4, and then goes back again and mentions Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And we'll pick it up here next week and finish the conversation that Zechariah had with the angel that came to visit him. Been listening to the Joey Kelly broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.